Our introduction on our subject is from Psalm 2, and we're going to look at Psalm 110 this morning. Now, just speak for a few minutes to introduce our subject. Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
Are you? Do you have hope in your heart, in your life? Yeah. If not, we're glad you're here, because you're going to get some. All right, so we're going to give out some hope, a message on hope. How about that? We need it. We're in difficult, interesting times, as we understand in our faith. When we read our Bible, we read about the beginning of sorrows, and we understand that life can change and things can happen catastrophically. We see weather changes, we see political directions. I've heard recently that 60 countries this year have free elections, have elections in their country. India just had, Mexico is having, we are having like 60 countries with elections, which means maybe that change can bring instability and trouble. We remember the story about Daniel in Daniel 6, and how they made a law that he could not pray. But he did. And there are times in life when we can see trouble, and then we lift up our eyes, we look on the Lord, for he is our portion. In Psalm 16, we have God in our lives. We are thankful for that. So if you turn with me to Psalm 2, we see, in a way we could say, a bad psalm. It's a great psalm, actually, but a very good one. But there's some evil that's happening. And I think of John 1. When we have verse 4, John 1, 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So Christ, he has life. The life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, the darkness comprehended it not. They don't go together, light and darkness. They just don't go together. So we are in a world where we have light, but then there's the other side. That's the darkness. And they do not get along. They don't get along with each other. A lie and truth, they don't go together. They just contradict each other. So let's have a prayer. Lord Jesus, we assemble in your name, and your Holy Spirit is here to anoint us and lead us as listeners and understand your ways. Give us real liberty today in the ministry of the Word, that the Word would focus in our heart, the Word would liberate, enlighten. The entrance of your Word would give light, understanding to the simple. We ask. Amen. So we have here in Psalm 2 something about the world that we live in, Let me draw a picture, just to get your attention. We have the world, and we have evil in the world. We could say like this, pockets, there's evil, like organizations, there's evil. Can be a country, actually, evil in the world, okay? It can be very strong, the evil that is in the world. And if you are a history person and you like read about it and study it, it's fascinating how a whole region can be governed by evil and what can happen. And then in the same picture, you have we can just say we have the church in the world. They are the anointed. They are called the anointed. The Messiah is called the anointed. That'll be our subject today. That's Psalm 110. That's what we're going to read about the Messiah. Messiah, the anointed one. He is not darkness. He is light. In him is life, and the life is the light of men. Darkness comprehended it not. So in a way, this is the way the world is. Like you can have big influence of evil and little influence. One person, one homeless person can be evil, or one director of a company can be evil, and his influence may be very small. But then you have evil that can be very influential in a whole country of a billion people. Where did that happen? 1 billion people under one atheistic dictator who eliminated all missionaries, eliminated Bibles, all believers and intellectuals. Who was that? Mao. That was Mao. It happened in Cambodia also, Cambodia, the Khmer Rouge. And it happens today in North Korea. They're very much against Christianity. Very evil governments, okay? Very evil powers that happen in the world through history and today. So there's a good picture for us. I am saying, because I want to talk reality, but reality in one level, and then talk about the Messiah, preach about the Messiah, and who is the Messiah, and what has he done, and what does it mean to you? Because you are with the Messiah. The Messiah has anointed you. You are indwelt by the Spirit. You are not of the world. You are of God. God is light. The world is darkness. But we live in the world. And when Jesus came, who are the names of some of the leaders that went against him? Caiaphas, the high priest, Annas, and Pontius Pilate, mentioned three. What did they do? They crucified him. What did they do? They got rid of him. Look at Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen or the unbeliever rage? Why are they angry? Why are they emotional? Why are they ripping angry? Why are they organized? Why are they imagining a vain thing? They are imagining, making up something in their mind about the Messiah. Look at verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. Against who? Against the Lord and against his anointed. Who are his anointed? You and I, the disciples. The believers, they are anointed of God. They are like Jesus. They are like Jesus. They are humans. We have a sin nature. Of course, we know, but we are those that are sent into the world. He said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And we are sent into the world to be the salt and the light of the earth. We are here on a mission. The devil recognizes it. He recognizes it. He does. I want you to understand that. That if you are a spirit-filled Christian, it's like you got a big bullseye on your t-shirt. You got a target on you. Well, who knows that you are a spirit-filled Christian? The devil knows. The spirits know that. How do they know that? Because they are spirit. They know spirits. They know you. Who identified Jesus first? Mark chapter 1. A man filled with the devil. He was the one that ran at Jesus and said, "What did you come here? I know you. I know who you are. I know you have come to destroy us. And what do we have to do with you?" That's Mark chapter 1, maybe verse 22. Very interesting. The devil recognizes it. So to break it down, to say it simply, Baltimore summers can be really hot. August, summer, Baltimore. Put a lump of hamburger out on your patio. What will come? Flies. Boat flies. Those greenish flies. Yeah, they will come. How do they know the hamburgers? I don't know. They know. They know about it. They can smell. They know it. They know what it is. If you could put a can of Coca-Cola and open the top of it and put it down in your bag, what will come? Different insect. Hornets will come. Bees will come. Because they know about the sugar. How do these insects know that? And how do demons know when you are with God? They know you are with God. They know you are the Lord's anointed. They know that you are spirit-filled. They know that you have the Spirit of God in you. And they target you. And they make up a story about you. Now, in the first, second, third centuries, they said, Pastor Steve mentioned it the other day, that the Christians, the pagan world said, the Christians will share everything with you except your bed. What's the meaning? Christians will share their food with you. They will share their house with you. They will be hospitable to you. They will share their money with you, but they will not share their wife with you. Or their husband with you. That Christians do not do that. How are we different from pagans? The pagans are very relaxed. They do whatever they want to, but the Christians don't. Christians have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. The Christians are believers in the Messiah, and the Messiah calls us his anointed. And we have conviction in our heart. Now, the pagans do the other way. The pagans don't give you any money. The pagans don't give you their house or hospitality. They don't give, but they'll give you their wife to you or their daughters. Yeah, they don't have it. They don't have the message. They don't have life. They don't have Christ in their life. But you have Christ in your life. And so, the kings of the earth, these are the evil kings. They crucified Christ. They imagined lies about you. They imagine lies about us. That can happen. It happens. That's not the total part of the psalm. I want you to see it. However, it says here, verse 3, they say, "Let us break their bands asunder. Let's divide them from each other. Let's break them up into little pieces and groups. Let's break their bands asunder. They will not have unity. Let's divide their unity." That's what the communists did in China with Watchman Nee. They just sowed the discord. They had Christians attacking Christians. That was their strategy. That we would just be attacking each other and unhappy with each other. Let's break them up. Because unity is powerful. When we have spirit, the same spirit, the same anointing, then we have love, we have joy, we have connection, we have harmony, we have edification, we have Christ between us. When two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst, and also you will ask and I will answer you. So we have a convention coming up the end of June. I mark it on your calendar and be part of that. Come during the day. It's free of charge. The whole parking lot is going to be filled with different activities. There's food, there are sessions, there's workshops, and make it a point. So people will be coming in from India, a lot of people from India, from Europe, from Africa, like every year, and Latin America. We'll be coming together, and we'll be praying together, loving each other, and we'll be getting along real well because Jesus put us together. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus put us together. Jesus put us here. I don't mean, hey, no, really. Hey, don't misunderstand me there. Back off. I don't know who you're talking to right now. Husband and wife, you could say that, but I don't know about your girlfriend. Okay, I don't know about that. Okay. All right, go to verse. I want to and just make this an introduction. I want you to notice here. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Lord shall have them in derision. I would not want to be a wicked person in this world today. Why? Because it's not good. It's a recipe for destruction. If you're on the wrong side of things, then get on the right side. Come to Christ. If you're on the wrong side in life, come to the right place. Come to Jesus Christ and confess your sin and get right with God. You're in the wrong whole thing, like I don't. You're going to be in derision. You're going to be, God is against the proud, gives grace to the humble. It's not a good thing. Sometimes when I see the wickedness in our nation, I have pity on the people who are in a bad place. I go, that guy's in a bad place. That's not going to go well. That is not a good thing. They are in trouble. They are in trouble. They are in trouble. So many people, they are in trouble. They need Jesus in their life, really. So the Messiah is seated at the right hand of God. The Messiah is told by the Father in verse 8. The Father says, ask of me, I will give you the heathen for thine inheritance. And that means Jesus is asked by the Father. Father says to Jesus, ask me for the Korean people. Ask me for Koreans. I will give you the Koreans. Jesus said, give me Koreans. Give me Chinese. Give me Russians. Give me a group of Indians in the mountains of the Andes. Give me a people group in the Brazilian rainforest. Give me a people group in the deserts of Turkmenistan. Ask me. The Father said, ask me. You are the Messiah. I will give you people. I will save souls. I'll give you the body. I'll make you a bride. I'll put together an amazing group of people. Ask me, he says to Jesus. Well, look at our screen up here. Who? In an evil world, he is able to save. He redeems. He indwells us with the Spirit. While we are in an evil world, yeah. While we are in an evil world, we know the Messiah. We have the peace of God in our heart. Yeah, while we are in a dark place where there is trouble, maybe, as Paul said, on every side. But I have the Messiah. And the Father says to the Messiah, I will give you an inheritance. And that inheritance is not just mountains and rivers and the stars and the sky and the whole universe, but it's man. I will make man. You became a man to save man. I will give you men. I will make a bride for you. I will put you together. I will exalt man. I will go way down to man as a sinner, redeem him, baptize him into you. And as you are raised from the dead, so they are raised from the dead. And you are seated in heavenly places, so they are seated in heavenly places. Is that reality? It is. But now we have not yet seen it. Look at the next part. It says, verse 9, you will break them with a rod of iron. This is the government's, the little dots on our map. When do they disappear? When do those dots, the evil world, the evil governments, the evil world, when will they be gone? When will it be like minimized? It'll be absolutely gone after the millennial reign, but before the millennial reign, it'll be way downgraded. There will not be an evil government. Christ will take a rod of iron and clay pots. It's like shattered glass. Going into a glass store with glass with a baseball bat. And it's dramatic, it's violent, it's powerful, it's devastating. That's the meaning. But I thought Jesus was real meek and humble and real nice guy. Yeah, he is. But there's another side to it. He hates evil. He hates a lie. He's coming. It's not going to look pretty. It's going to be incredibly profound. The world is going to change. No more war, Isaiah 2, Micah. No more war. The weapons will be turned into plowshares, become an agricultural world, we know in part. There'll be peace. There'll be the leadership from the Jewish people in Jerusalem with man on the earth. The world will nearly be destroyed. The whole human race nearly wiped out. It would be wiped out except for the coming of Christ. And when he comes, there'll be no tolerance for evil like we see today. We see incredible amount of evil. And in Israel, the prophet said that this is an evil nation. It's an evil nation. And it's a prototype of what we are seeing happening even in our own country, which we love very much. We love very much. We love it very much. And we are living here to do the best we can to bring the message of the Christ, the Messiah, into the world. Now, notice chapter 2, verse 10. Be wise, therefore, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Be submitted to the Messiah. Kiss the Son. Get connected with him. And he's talking to the kings of the earth. Be connected to him. So we have two people groups that are going to be reigning in the millennium. We have the Jewish people, the Old Testament saints, the kings, and the men and the women of God on the earth. We have the church also during the millennial reign. And it'll be a new time. That'll be a better world. I would like you in your imagination to imagine a world where there is not the evil that is happening today. I would like you to imagine a world where there is peace, where there is righteousness, where there is joy and harmony. And I would like you to imagine that in your heart. And we have tastes of it in life and in the body of Christ. That is one of those places where we can kiss the Son, be connected with him, and sense the blessing of God in our personal life. Okay? Amen. Isn't it incredible that Christ was incarnated, always existing, from everlasting to everlasting? Thou art God. Psalm 90, verse 1. And then unto us a child is born, a son is given, his name shall be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Counselor. Amazing. Mighty God. How could God become a man? The mystery of the Christian faith. Incredible reality revealed in the scripture. There is no question about it that the Bible is teaching that God is also the son of David. That's Psalm 110. So let's put that up on the screen. Let's go. Okay. Psalm 110, verse 1. So, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. Now notice the text. Lord is capitals, right? L-O-R-D, capital letters. That means that that word is from the Hebrew word Yahweh. Yahweh is the name of God used 6,000 times or so for the Savior, the God that is involved in covenant. He is God. And he said unto my Lord, and that word is Adonai. That's also a word for God. So the Lord God, we could say the Father, said unto the Son, sit at my right hand. Well, when did he say that? When is that said? That was when Christ was raised from the dead, that the Father is saying, in heaven, he's saying, this is my son. This day have I begotten you from the dead. I raise you from the dead. You are the Messiah, the King of Kings, and sit at my right hand. So five times in our New Testament, we have Jesus seated at the right hand. Where is that coming from? This verse. God is saying to his son, well, when he was born in Bethlehem, that wasn't when Jesus began. He didn't begin as in his existence. He didn't ever begin. He always was. But he was born or incarnated as man in Bethlehem by the lineage of David. He had to be of the line of David, and that's in this psalm too. So in this psalm, we have three offices mentioned in the psalm for the Messiah or the Christ. We have he is a prophet, he is a priest, and he is a king. Three main offices in our Old Testament. Like they are important men that, and also women in the case of Deborah, who was a prophetess. She was a female prophet. She operated in the Spirit of God and was used by God. And now the Messiah comes, and in the Gospels we read the Messiah teaching. The Messiah is instructing. He is exhorting. He is rebuking. He is compassionate. He is predicting the future. He is the one that understands. He has the mind of God as a teacher or as a prophet. Okay? So go back to Psalm 110, verse 1. I sit at my right hand until I make your enemies, your footstool. Let's go back to this picture, this one. Are those dots that are representing the evil authorities that are in the world? They are spiritual and human. They are demonic governments, principalities and powers, they are called, Ephesians chapter 6, linked with human beings that are being affected by demonic powers, the mind of evil with people. bad kings, like I mentioned, North Korea, Mao, Hitler, Stalin, murderers, destroyers, oppressors, tyrants. Obviously, they are obviously evil. But then there are other expressions of evil that are more subtle, more beautiful, more cunning, more enlightening. They are religious leaders. They are, Paul called them angels of light. Like Satan was an angel of light in the Garden of Eden, showing himself to Eve and Adam as an angel of light. And he warned us not to be deceived by an angel of light, which he, in that portion, 2 Corinthians 11, likens them to false apostles. So there's a lot of religion that is evil. A lot of false teaching and evil that happens in the name of religion. Okay. Are these dots under the feet of the Messiah? Not yet. What did he say to the Messiah? Sit at my right hand until I bring your enemies under your footstool. Now, you have a throne, like in the furniture of a kingdom. You have the throne and you have a footstool. Footstool is the lower end of that throne, right? It's where your feet go. It's a place of humiliation. Putting them under your feet, meaning that you have full authority over the evil. But now we don't see that. We actually are in the presence of evil, as Christ, when he first came, was in the presence of an evil world. And they took him and they crucified him. Wow, what a story, right? What a message. And he overcame death, overcame evil, was raised, seated at the right hand, and he's there until the word comes from the Father to go back, and he's coming. First time, as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Second time, as the King of Kings. Revelation 19, he has four names. One of them is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Another one is faithful and true. Another one is he is the Word of God. The fourth one is a name that nobody knows but only him and the Father. He is coming with a rod of iron, a baseball bat, so to speak, in a glass house, and it's over. The evil is put under his feet. The lies are under his feet. Now we live in a world like the world he lived in, and God has ordained this to be like so, so that we could live, learn to live, and have God's mind in an evil world. How are you doing with that? How are we doing with having God's mind in an evil world, right? Isn't that a good question? To me, I get upset. To me, when I have a sense of justice in my heart, I get angry. To me, it's not always easy when they imagine a lie about you, when they make up a story, when they do like Daniel, say you cannot pray anymore, when they take the three Hebrew boys and put them in the fiery furnace. Or in the book of Acts, they say to the believers, you stop talking about it. You stop preaching about Jesus. You stop it. You be quiet. Don't say anything more about it. You stop it. You be quiet. Acts 4, verse 19. And they said, we cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. In chapter 4 and verse 20. Okay. We have the same spirit in us. We have convictions in our hearts about things. We have love in our hearts about the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. We believe people must be born again. We were out yesterday morning, like many people, I was so happy to go to the fellowship hall at the end of the property and be in a room with 50 or 70 believers that gather on Saturday just to go out and to share our faith in a parking lot, at a mall, at a Home Depot, or Dunkin' Donut parking lot, or somewhere, and talk, or go to some streets and knock on doors and say that Jesus is loves you, that Jesus is alive, that Jesus cares about you. To go to Towson University on the street there in York Road, as some folks do from here, and we go out and we do it as a way of life. It's not heart. It's loving people. I had tears yesterday with one dear lady in the parking lot who shared her story, and we had a talk, and it was beautiful. So we are in the world to have a message about the Messiah. So let's go to the text, chapter 110 and verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength. I have a paragraph here. This psalm is pure gospel. It is only and wholly concerning Christ, the Messiah. That's all that it's about. Promised to the fathers and expected by them. I was flying on a plane somewhere, and two Orthodox Jewish men were sitting with me. We talked, and I love those people very much, and I know a little bit about it, and we talked, and I knew what was a good question they asked me. We talked. I said, "Do you mind? I don't get offended. I love to hear about the Psalms and the prophets, so maybe you can teach me something." And we had a talk, very nice time, and then it did come to a question that they couldn't answer. And the question was, who do you think the Messiah is? Is the Messiah God or not? Is the Messiah God? Well, how could he be a man, the son of David? And then how could he also be God, right? Could we put up on the screen Matthew 22, verse 41? Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. They are the Orthodox Jews of the time. They gathered and Jesus asked them, verse 42, "What do you think of Christ?" What a good question. That's what I said on the plane, actually, to these dear people. Whose son is he? Yeah, he is the son of David. That's the easy part. He is the son of David. Yeah, we know the Messiah is the son of David. 2 Samuel 7, we know that. The son of David, and he shall reign forever and ever. Well, what else? Next one. He said, "Why then, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord?" How could he call him Adonai, or how could he call him God? Saying, "The Lord said unto my Lord," that's from Psalm 110, right? "Yahweh said to Adonai, sit on my right hand till I make your enemy." Jesus is taking that psalm and he's asking the question that you know he is the son of David, but then how can he also be Lord? And David would call him Lord. David's son is also God. Yep. Yep, he is. He's the Messiah. So, go to If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? How could he be God and his son at the same time? It's the point. It's what we have. It's the incredible message that God so loved us that he was incarnated to save us, to become a man, to take our sins away, be raised from the dead so that we could have a new life. This is the message of the gospel that is resisted by the devil. This is why these tyrants sometimes remove all the Christians, take all the Christians out if they can, remove all the Bibles, all the schools, all the churches, to murder them and kill them and destroy them. It's all demonic against the Lord and his anointed. They don't want the gospel. They don't want the message. They don't want the Bible. They don't want people like you and I. They don't want to have a Bible school in their country that is like our Bible school. They don't want to have a church in our country like our church and the many churches like it that are around our country, thank God, that are the salt and the light. And we will keep doing what we do because it's in our hearts, because we are not the dots, we are the triangles. We, in other words, we are not evil, we are of God. We have the Spirit of God, and we are encouraged. And every time there is some evil action or evil thing, then we are there. And maybe sometimes the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. And sometimes when the devil gets very angry about it and wants to destroy two groups of people that he hates, the Jews, and please be aware of that and sensitive, the Jewish people, that's from God. Don't touch it. That's from God. That's the message of God to the world. Yes, they have not accepted. Many of them have. Many Christianity was born with a Jewish population, born out of Judaism. There's no question about it. The Hellenistic Jews in Alexandria, the Hellenistic Jews around the Roman Empire, more than a million of them, maybe some millions of Hellenistic Jews that became Christians. That there's a great story on that. That's not my point, but my point is that the devil is against the Jew and the Christian. If you have the Spirit, he doesn't mind the Christians that are not born again. And you got to be born again. By the way, it's not like you have a lot of different Christians and then, you know, then there's a group that's called the born again. No, you're not a Christian unless you are born again. You are not of God unless you are born of God. You have to be born of God. You can't. I grew up in a church and I was not born again. I grew up, just because you're born into a church doesn't make you a Christian. No more than my cat has kittens in the oven. You can't call them biscuits. You know, the dog has puppies in a garage and you can't call them an automobile. They are what they are because of how they were born, and you are not going to heaven unless you are born again. And when you are born again, now you are talking about the Messiah that saved you by his grace and gave you a new birth, gave you a new life. And there are many people that say they are Christians. They're not going. They're not going up in the rapture. They're not going to heaven because they must be born again. And God knows that. God knows them. And yes, there are born-again Catholics. I am sure of that. There are born-again Presbyterian, born-again Baptists, born-again people. There are born-again people, and you just have to be born again. But you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are born again in John 3 and verse 5. And you are if you have believed and put your trust in Christ. Okay, let's go back to the psalm now. I think we'll just break it down quickly here. I'm reading now from a paragraph. Um, Christ proposed a question to the Pharisees on the first words of this psalm, and we read that in Matthew 22, where it takes for granted that David in spirit calls Christ his Lord, though he was his son. Okay, so David does indeed speak of the Messiah, and so we say, of him therefore no doubt the prophet speaks of him and no other man, Christ is our Redeemer. And he executes the office of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, with reverence both to his humiliation and his exaltation, and of each of these we have an account. In singing this psalm, we must act faith upon Christ, submit ourselves entirely to him, to his grace and government, and triumph in him as our prophet, priest, and king, and by whom we hope to be ruled and taught and saved forever as a prophet, priest, and king of the whole church, who shall reign till he has put down all opposing rule, principality, and power, and delivers up the kingdom to God the Father. So here is the idea in history. You need some imagination for this. It's very important. I never had exposure to this until I came into a Bible-believing church with the Bible and understood the Bible this way. This is so good. We are living now in 2024. There is a day coming when Christ will come back in the air. We will be brought up and meet him in the air. That's called the rapture. And we'll be with God, but the world will be under a curse, many curses. And we talk about global warming and climatic changes and governments and tyrants and so on. That's puppy chow compared to what's coming. That's little stuff. Tornadoes and climatic things and governments and wars and so on. This is going to be global catastrophe of incredible magnitude that's going to happen on the earth. That is written in the book of Revelation, referred to Christ by Christ in his teachings in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. So we have Psalm 110, Messiah, God, man, he's coming. While he was here, he was a teacher. He was teaching us about things. Yeah, very good for you to be taught by Christ. Very good for you to understand life through the words of Christ. Very good for you to embrace it and follow it in your heart. Very good for you to learn about anxiety, fear, to learn about death, about bondage, about religion, about false religion. Very good for you to read your Bible. I mean, I'm telling you, if you get in the habit of reading your Bible and learning the Bible, God will speak to you and he'll help you through the most difficult times of your life. God will give you guidance even out of the blue. If you got the Bible and you start reading it as a way of life, the Spirit will bring something to your mind that you read. And you got to get it in there. You got to be a Bible reader. You need it. We need it. Okay. The Messiah is a teacher, prophet, teacher, and he's still doing it today. He is your teacher. The anointing teaches you. That anointing helps us live and navigate in the world. Very important. Turn to this Psalm 110. Verse 2, the Lord shall send the rod of his strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. To a degree, that is happening today. We are able to bind the enemy. We are able to bind it by the head office in heaven. We could say head office is in heaven. The authority is in heaven, and it's executed here on the earth. Ask Christ, walk with Christ, and it will be done on the earth. The government that we are part of is in heaven. That government extends to the earth. Your obedience, when you obey God, that's the extension of the government of God on the earth through you. You are empowered by God. As the Father sent me, I send you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. When God says forgive, then forgive. As you forgive, the government of God is extended in the earth through your forgiveness. You have spiritual power. You have authority. You have a ministry. You can see a life changed. Somebody get help. Words, comfort. You can see answer prayer. You can see a whole country turn. 99% Buddhist, Korea, 100 years ago, 99% Buddhist. The Buddhists would take a Christian pastor, this happened to some, I know of this case, they took a rowboat out to sea, they put a rope around the neck of the pastor, threw the stone into the sea, and he went down. They drowned him. They did that in Korea. It was 100 years ago against Christianity. It's now the largest churches in the world are in South Korea. The country divided, North Korea and South Korea, remember. North Korea is evil. It gets very, very wicked and evil. South Korea is 60% Christian. How? How did it happen? Messiah did it. How did the Messiah do it? His authority. Well, is he evil here still? Yes. But it's coming. There's a day coming when his ministry will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. There'll not be war anymore. There won't be the lie that we know of today, like how we know it today. It'll change because he did it at the cross. He has the authority. God is saying, I don't lie. You lie. You people, you lie. I don't lie. I'm coming. And when I establish my kingdom, there won't be lies. I am God. I am King. I am the Messiah. I am in charge. It's my kingdom. And I'm bringing it on the earth. And we say, thank you, Jesus. We tasted, we want it. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We're with you. We're on the same team. We love it. We love it. We love you. We love what you said. We love what you did. You are the answer for this world. And many, many people in the world say, no. That's too crazy. We can figure it out. We can figure it out. Yeah, well, good luck figuring it out. You never done it yet. Thousands of years. Just gets worse and worse. Bad. Okay, next thing. Priest. Verse 4. The Lord has sworn, will not repent. You are a priest. What is a priest? But a minister before God on our behalf. So the priest comes before God. Nobody can come before God. Nobody. But Jesus can. You can't come before God. Are you kidding me? Where demons come before God? You can't. Sinners come before God? We cannot. We are sinful. We are unholy. We are lost. We don't have God. We can talk about God. We can hope in God. We can think about God. We could be inventing our God, any number of things that people do. And God, we can say God, but people don't know God. Jesus does. Jesus is the priest that goes before God on our behalf, and he comes to us, the priest that comes to us to say, you are forgiven of your sin. You have access to God. I made the way. I'm the mediator. I'm the answer for your life. You know, you are with me. At the cross, God put us in him, where when he died, we died. When he was raised, we were raised. When he ascended, we ascended. When he seated, We were seated with him in heavenly places. We are now in the very presence of God in Christ Jesus. That's what our priest did. Our priest did that. He didn't stay here. He went up. And because he went up, so did we. We that are in him, we are accepted in the beloved. All the verses for that, I could give them to you. Ephesians 1:6, Colossians 2:14, Romans 6:4, Romans 6:6, that we died with him, we're crucified. Galatians 2:20, for us to live is Christ. Yeah, I mean, it's all there. It's finished work. We're accepted. The priest, Christ, the Messiah, has saved us. He has saved us. He has put our name in the book of life. We have been accepted in the beloved. We are born of God. We are in God. Our sin nature is done, crucified. Okay, I'm still living in my body, which has sin in it. I still have a sin nature. Yes, that's another message. That is true. That is for sure. But my sin cannot ultimately separate me from him who has accepted me on the basis of the blood of the Son of God. That the Lamb of God has taken away our sin. Past, present, future. We have been justified by God, accepted by God. We are in him and accepted in him in Christ Jesus. How amazing is that? Psalm 110, third thing. King. He is a king. The king. Look at chapter 110, verse 5. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. I want to put in here, kings. That's you and me. We are priests and kings. I mean, he knows who's going to reign with him, but he's coming back on a white horse, others coming with him. Colossians 3, verse 4. We're at Revelation chapter 19. We are coming back with him. We're going to be raptured. The world is going to go through a very bad, difficult time called the Great Tribulation, but he will save the world from near destruction by returning with his people and establishing on the earth his kingdom. That'll be a lot better than the one that we are in right now. And the worse one that will be coming after the rapture. After the rapture, the Christians are gone, and the world, in a phrase, you could say the world goes to hell. It does. Demons come out from high security prison. Evil is much greater. Armies, wars, nuclear war, undoubtedly. Powers, the seas are one-third blood. The sky is dark because of fallout, perhaps. Darkened moon, darkened sun. Diseases that break out. No repentance, arrogance, hatred for God, and so on in that tribulation period. That day is coming. That day is coming. Hey. That day is coming. Can you live with that? Come on, wake up. Now, I want to say it in the context. I'm not saying it like, no, I am saying it like to the Christians around the world, all of us. Say, hey, you worried about your life? You're worrying about your investment or your house or your children or something? Are you kidding me? The world is on fire. The world is in trouble. I better get serious with God. I want to know who my Messiah is. I want to relate to him so that I have hope. I have hope when the world collapses. I have hope when the economy collapses. I have hope when there is trouble on the border and in the world, and there is plenty of it. And you need to learn how to live in this wicked world. I mean, come on. You got to learn how to live. You got to learn how to say no. Come on. You're not going to make it. Unless you learn how to live, you got a Messiah who made it possible for you and me to live in the Spirit and to govern with him and be a king when he comes back. That may not be my motivation. I just love Jesus and whatever. I don't need to be. I'm not in it. I'm not saying it like that. But I am saying when he comes back, remember the James and John, the mother said, could I have my son on your right hand and left hand, remember? And Jesus said, it's not for me to give, but it will happen. There will be somebody on my right and my left, but I'm not the one that's going to give it out. It looks like the Father will. Not mine to give, but it'll be there. There will be kingdoms. There will be thrones when Jesus comes back. There will be authority on this earth. Hallelujah. I want a righteous man ruling over me. How about it? I want a good man ruling over me in the millennium, right? I want God's man over me. I want the Messiah over me and whoever he would put over me. And I would like to be a subject to that. I am looking for that. I anticipate it and I want that because this kingdom has no end. And this kingdom is a righteous kingdom and it's coming. Yeah, so be comforted by it. What we see in our country is like predicted, not good, because of the way the world is in history and how it goes. But be comforted. Have Jesus in your heart and do what we can to share the ministry, the kingdom of God, and never stop doing it. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Walk with him, and then you will drink of the brook in the way. This is a long message. I'm sorry, I'm trying to finish here, but here it is, verse 7. He shall drink of the brook in the way. This is just a beautiful thought at the end of the psalm. And where we see drinking of the brook is Elijah the prophet drinking of the brook. When the ravens brought him food, and he then was moved to a widow's house, but he drank of the brook in the way. It's kind of like an unknown, unseen, inconspicuous event or place. You drink of the brook in the way. I think of our church like that. We drink of the brook in the way. We get a good drink, and we lift up the head. Look at verse 7. Therefore shall he lift up the head. He will drink of the brook in the way. I'll get a message here and a message there, and I'll lift up my head. I'll hear the bad news, and there'll be trouble at the border, but then I'll lift up my head. I drink of the brook in the way. There's problem at the school or at the university or at the working place or in your family, but you drink of the brook in the way, and it lifts up your head. And you're able to realize there is a kingdom, that it's God's kingdom. It's inconspicuous. Not everybody sees it. It's kind of behind the scene, but it's there. There's more than 150 million Christians in China. The Chinese tried to destroy the Christianity, but it backfired. 150 million, they say, some people say, Christians in China. Are they drinking of the brook in the way? Does the Chinese government have the authority over every human heart? Does the Chinese government have the authority over every word spoken? Does the government have the power over where we go and how we do things sometimes? But still, there is a brook in the way that we are able to drink there and lift up our head and believe that God is in history. He's sitting in heaven and he's laughing at their efforts to destroy us. He's laughing at it because it's a kingdom of spirit and of faith and humility and love. And that love, many waters cannot quench it. That love, you cannot resist it. You cannot tear it down. It keeps coming back and keeps coming back because this is the Messiah. The Messiah is in the world. and he's on a throne, and we are his anointed people, and we have a mission, we have a purpose, we have a ministry, we have a word, we have a message, we have a brook in the way, and it will lift up our head and help us live this life as hard and as miserable as it may be, as tough as it might be. There is a brook in the way from this Messiah who cares about us and is running things perfectly. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? If you're not, if you're listening and you're not sure about where you stand with God, just say to God, I need you. There's no answer for this world except the Messiah. There's no answer for the troubles that we see. There's no answer for the coming trouble that might come, might not, hope not, but it might come and might be serious. But there's no answer regardless except you. For the grave, no answer for the broken heart except you. No answer for real loneliness and depression and fear except you. No answer for my life and my family except you. I want to make you the number one, the chief, the head of it all. I submit to you today and ask you to come into my life. Fill me with your spirit and show me the way all the time, all the time. And show me your word. Help me read and understand. Open my heart. Give me new friends, spiritual people in my life, good friends, edification. Thank you for the church. Lead and guide me in faith. Bless our country. We need help by the gospel. In Christ's name, amen.